Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's do this.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh! Hoping, longing, wishing on a star that you'll send wretched things. When you stumble across something wretched, a sermon, a story, an article, send it, bitter, to idea@wretched.org. And if and you've got questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks, not quite. You know what I've noticed about head colds and everything since COVID?
What's that?
That everything seems to drag out and linger longer.
Mm.
I don't have any science to support that, but that doesn't seem to matter much these days when it comes to viruses and such. Virology? And
is that the word?
Did you get your shingles vaccination yet?
Me,
you bet you're going to die. Because if you get the shingles and the pneumococcal pneumonia at the same time, look out, buddy boy. Don't blame anybody but yourself for not heeding the scare tactic ads. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Daniel. Todd, I recently watched your exposition on the House of David and completely understand your perspectives. But what about all of those people who are saying that regardless of the story, it is driving people to read their Bible more?
One word, pragmatism. That would fall underneath the argument of pragmatism that the end justifies the means. And biblically, nothing justifies a bad means. Nothing. We can't use a good ending to say, therefore, we can do something that is prohibited. That's pragmatism. It's funny, I was on the phone with, this was really cool. I was on the phone with Phil Johnson, our dear brother. He's like Chicago. He's feeling stronger every day. Not there yet, but he's increasing with his strength after all of those treatments to send cancer packing at least for the next decade, which praise God, that would be wonderful, or even 2 decades would be wonderful-er. He's getting stronger. And I was talking to him on the phone and I actually felt really bad when it was done because I kept him on the line for 37 minutes. I genuinely was like, oh, Todd, you know that he's like not like 100% yet. How could you do this? Nevertheless, I enjoyed every single minute. And he was the one, I think, who brought up these representations on TV of Bible characters. And he carefully parsed out the second commandment. What is the second commandment? That you should not make a graven image. Now, some people, an iconoclast, would say any sort of image that represents really anything biblical, but definitely God, would be forbidden. And we need to break those stained glass windows because it is a representation. I think the second commandment personally is not about the presentation, but about the heart's attitude toward that image. Does that image cause me to love that image? And Phil's claim was that is exactly what these Bible shows are doing. You love that guy. You love that Jesus. You love that David. But they're not the Jesus of the Bible. They're not the David of the Bible. And therefore, in his opinion, I think I'm representing him correctly, that they would be breaking the second commandment, not because they're making an icon per se, but because it is leading people to love an actor and his portrayal of a Jesus and not the true second person of the Trinity, Jesus. All that to say, got to watch out for the pragmatism. And praise God for Phil's recovery. But 37 minutes. Real, what were you thinking? Idea at wretched.org or 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a 10.
Oh, by the way, I've got a correction to make.
Oh, okay.
I was wrong. I gave a different number than the one that was accurate. That's the talk show host's way of saying I was wrong. I said that on my phone, I had 15,000 unheard voicemails. That was wrong.
Oh,
it's 1,500.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So I just wanted to, for the record.
Well, I mean, artistic license. So you're good.
I can't even tell you how much I love that little slogan. The next time, Mrs. Friel, honey, you were a little sharp with me. Artistic license. I was just acting like your husband, Todd. So you got to let it go. 877-282-2337.
This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I'm a 26-year-old woman and I have a conundrum. A 26-year-old single woman and I have a conundrum. A biblical marriage and family is my deepest desire. My question is, if marriage is, as I've heard you say, God's greatest gift to us here on earth outside of salvation, and as scripture says, he only gives good gifts to his children, why does he withhold this gift from some of us?
Yeah, I'm not sure that I said marriage is like the second best gift, but I did say that it is a massive gift. Having children is also a huge gift of the Lord. Why doesn't God give us the desires of our heart? I think we need to remember the principle of the book of Proverbs. You read the Proverbs and you would think, well, this is a quid pro quo system. If I do this, then he does that. Well, in general, yes. But we also have the book of Job, which shows a very godly, righteous man get totally shellacked. What happened? Was he not following the Proverbs? Did the Proverbs break? No. God is orchestrating history. He's ordaining all things. He's working out all things for our good, for his glory. And that includes the consequences of sin, the effect of the fall, his, if you will, ordaining / permission of evil. All of these things are working for his good. So in general, he gives us the desire of our hearts. But there's no guarantee that every single thing that you want, you're going to get. Furthermore, there's the issue of his fatherly discipleship of you. He knows what is best for you right now. Now, I do not want to minimize your longing or suggest that your desire to find a spouse, get married, and make babies should abate, but to give it perspective and to help you not perhaps grow a root of bitterness, God knows that at this moment, it would be less than good for you to find a spouse. He needs you to be single to work out what he is doing in your life. And so we trust the character and the nature of God and that everything he does is good. What God ordains is always good, always. And if you're single and you want to be married, but he's keeping you single, trust him. He knows what is best for you. He's not... God does not sit in heaven delighted that he's making his children grow a root of bitterness. Oh, look at how anxious she's getting. That is not even remotely close to our kind, wise, heavenly friend. Trust his character. Trust he knows what's best. Keep desiring a spouse. Make sure it doesn't become an idol. But know that if he doesn't provide one, the desire of your heart, while being perfectly biblical, is not what you need right now. And that goes for everything, by the way. Health, job, friend, children, all of it. Trust God's goodness. 877-282.
You good?
2337. Slow down. I'm trying to buy myself some time. I'm looking for an article that was on marriage that I thought, well, that's kind of a fresh, ancient perspective. You say, is it fresh or is it ancient? I say, well, it's kind of both because I have not heard this. That was titled, Marriage is the Antidote to Societal Decay. I suspect the author was Roman Catholic, but that's not the point. It's from The Spectator. Thomas Aquinas once explained that the opposite of love is not hate, it's use. And now he explains, where love is the complete giving of oneself to the beloved, a willing surrender of oneself, and a desire to achieve the good of the beloved. In other words, my love is focused on others, not on myself. Use, its opposite, is the inverse. Using another person in a consuming, not a giving, not a willing surrender, but sometimes forceful possession, and simply using them for my enjoyment. And marriage is the antidote to that. This was just some good writing, so I'm just going to read it. The debilitating, widespread, and liberal approach to pornography, contraception, and abortion have all contributed to the development of this culture of use. Each of these evils enables and encourages the individual not only to mistake himself, and not the family, for the essential unit of society, but accelerates the degradation of relationship and ultimately isolates the individual in a state where he alone is God and all others are not persons but are mere tools or instruments for pleasure. That is why we need to promote, well, it's not the only reason. That's one of the reasons why we need to promote marriage. Believe me, the best institution for helping you not be so focused on me is marriage. It's a good thing. Keep seeking it, but be content in the Lord. This is Wretched Radio.
Remember when we were kids and the adults would say, hey, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. It'll change. Now it seems the whole world's forgotten the climate has always been changing. And on Tuesday, April 22nd at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Fortis Institute fellow Dr. Jason Lyle will be joining us for a webinar to explore what's really happening with our climate. Not the panic you see on the news, not the politics, just an honest assessment backed by scientific evidence and biblical truth. Tuesday, April 22nd at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, fortisinstitute.org/webinar. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's at fortisinstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. If you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. Join us at fortisinstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is mercy. Those who possess this gift are able to show compassion and comfort the afflicted, people who are sick, dying, or bereaved. God cares about the things that afflict us and has provided comfort in troubled times. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Smell the irony? You will. This is Wretched Radio, hoping that you will send stuff that you deem to be wretched to idea at wretched.org, like this article, which I have to confess, the person who sent it concerns me deeply, because the article that was sent to idea at wretched.org is from CNN. What are you doing? Here's the ironic headline. What gave life on Earth its spark? Okay, tell us, scientists. Scientists recreating, did you catch it? They're recreating an experiment to determine how everything came to be, how inanimate went animate and became life. Well, see, here's the challenge, my scientific friends. If you want to figure out how all of this stuff got here, start from nothing. Don't work in a laboratory. Don't use test tubes. Don't use electricity. Don't use any of the chemicals that you have to organize them and move them around. That would point toward a creator. Instead, do it ex nihilo. All of these scientific efforts to try to determine this is how we think it all began. And we did some experiments. Time out. You can't do experiments to recreate what you think happened. What you need is an eyewitness account. And you got one, but they'll do anything to suppress that truth in unrighteousness. This is Wretched Radio, hoping you'll send more CNN, CNN articles. As long as it's not from MSNBC, to idea at wretched.org or text 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a question from Peter in Minnesota. He has this is a deeply theological question.
Yeah.
Todd, who sang the Beep Talk song?
Oh, my son.
He thought it was me.
It's funny that he did that, because that's not like his thing. We went out into the garage and I said, hey, do 877-282-2337. He did. Gave it to Joey and he turned it into...
1-877-282-BEEP.
With the electronic... voice thing. But do you hear Jack's laugh? Can you hear it? Can you hear it in here? Listen.
1-877-282-BEEP.
There, right there. Thanks for the memory. In fact, I'm trying to recall, was that recorded in Minnesota? Whoa. If that were the case, and the email came in from Minnesota, Jimmy, you know what that means, don't you?
What?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from James. Todd, what are your thoughts on Christians taking CBD for anxiety?
Jimmy, mm-hmm. You do drugs. Tell me, what is... I always get this confused. What's the substance inside of the marijuana that gets you stoned and dumb?
THC.
THC. Uh-huh. Is there THC in CBD?
Well, some forms of it.
Okay, that would be a problem.
Okay,
right there.
So let me tell you what I know.
Yeah.
Because I have looked into this, not because I wanted a person. No.
Too late.
Just curiosity.
This is how careers get ruined.
Yeah, I know. So there's a small amount, I believe, of THC in all CBD, just because they're a part of the same plant, but right. Not enough to alter your mind. It's a very, very, very small amount on the... with the oil and stuff, but they do make versions of it that do alter your mind.
Yeah.
But I think he's asking about the stuff that does.
Okay. Because the mind altering stuff, no. Right. But if CBD helps you like a vitamin, I don't think that I could state, no, don't do it, simply because it was extracted from a bush that can make you stoned. Having said that, though, I think there's a bigger question. Can you take stuff for your anxiety? That's the one that just kind of sends like rockets flying off for me. I think there's a better cure for anxiety. I think that there's a more biblical approach to dealing with depression. I think applying scripture to your heart is going to help you actually figure out and overcome what it is that is causing the anxiety. Because any medication you take, whether you buy it at a box on the corner, some dude wearing flip-flops, or you get it from a doctor, it is not dealing with what is the cause of your anxiety. It's going to mask symptoms, but it's never going to help you get better. Biblical counseling will do that. Seek a biblical cure. Get to the root of the issue. Sadness, depression, anxiety, that's merely a fruit. The root is something else in the Bible, and a good biblical counselor will help you identify that root and yank it out so that you can have shalom. Jimmy, I think, isn't Dr. Greg Gifford doing some stuff right now on depression and anxiety?
Yeah, he has a two-part series on anxiety, which started this week.
I haven't heard it yet because I listened to it on Saturday morning. That's my transform fix for the week is Saturday morning. You know, when I'm working out at the gym, which I don't think I need to mention. It's quite obvious. Just because, by the way, Jimmy,
yes,
I have actually put on about 12 pounds.
Trying to?
No. No, I decided that it's enough of these straws. You know, I don't know if I mentioned my hips, they're perfectly aligned right now.
Mm-hmm.
That it was that doctor who said, dude, you got to start working out your legs because they are tragic. So I did. And I've gained like weight. And I don't think I'm like putting on the belly fat. But man, did it put on weight just working out your legs for the first time in decades. 877-282-23. Did we answer the question?
I think so. Yeah, okay. I think so.
877-282-2337.
All right, this is from John. Todd, can you differentiate between the views of those who say there is no command to give 10% tithe versus those that say there is a command to tithe 10%?
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 ends it. There's just not a New Testament command that says you have to give 10%. Besides that, there is not an Old Testament command that says you have to give 10%. Those were taxes. The tithe, it was for the running of the nation, the running of the temple. These were not gifts to God per se. These basically were taxes. And the total, best you can tell, it is a very complex system in the Old Testament, which is why it's odd to me with all of the different tithes that exist that we say a tithe. So give 10%. In the Bible, it was 23 1/3%. Per year, because there were multiple tithes. There was the poor tithe. There was the festival tithe. There was the temple tithe. There was just 23 1/3% went to the running of the place. Then you gave to God from your heart. And that is reiterated in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. There's nothing about just 10%. If you want to adhere to tithing and say, hey, people in the Old Testament tithed, I say then, hey, make it 23 1/3%. And I'll bet that sermon series ain't going to fly because, wow, have I heard some of those. You got to give 10% and God's going to bless. Oh, what was the name of that guy in Texas? He told people, give 10%. And if you don't like the results, we'll give you your money back. Well, a group of people didn't like the results and they're suing him. Do you think that he could have gotten away with a sermon series like that if it had been, you got to give 23 1/3%? It just wouldn't work. There's nothing in the Old Testament that says merely 10%. In fact, giving is always a heart issue, even in the Old Testament, and very clearly in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Give what you... This is in alignment with what God desires from his children. He doesn't want sacrifices. That's just... Does God need an animal cooking on an altar? No, he doesn't. He owns it anyway. He owns the altar. He owns the stones, the mortar, the cow, all the fire. It all belongs. He doesn't need that. What does he want? Your heart. He wants you to give from your heart. He wants you to give from a place that says, Lord, you have given me everything. You have drawn my lines in very pleasant places. Have it all. Just take it. This is what I can give to you. That's what he seeks. That's what he desires. Heart giving. Not formulaic giving. 877-282-2337.
Hey, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't...
You're wrong.
Wasn't there even more that they had to give? Like if they were farmers and growing, didn't they have to, when they harvested, have to leave a portion behind for the poor?
Oh, the gleaning.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. There was the gleaning. But if you go, I challenge you. If you want a challenge, and I'm telling you, this will be a head scratcher for you. go through the Old Testament and look up all of the verses on tithing. And you get that, or you get that sorted, organized, so you can articulate it. Then you're a better man than I, Gunga Din, because I'm telling you, you read through all of those verses and it's like, no, wait, was that the tithe for, or over, did we give the, was that 10% going to cover this? I do that every third year, seventh year for that particular. It's hard. And then there's the delineation between animal sacrifice, grain offerings. It's very, very complex. Now, they had it sorted. They knew how to deal with it. But the point is, it was not 10%. In fact, I don't even like to say it that way because it indicates that tithing was indeed a gift to God. Tithing was to make sure that the place was operating. It wasn't to be a gift to God. Those came from the heart. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.